Hey, welcome to Mentally Chill. It's your mother. That's my name. So everyone listening, my roommate is sitting next to me right now, and she has no idea why I just said, it's your mother.
So, I really don't.
Okay, so the show is called Mentally Chill, but the ILL is in parentheses for ill, mentally right. Ill, chill. And so we are trying to think of a name for my listeners, almost like Lady Gaga's monsters or whatever they are, like little...
Or murderinos.
In murderinos, exactly. So my friend Kyle came up with Childrin, because Ill's in there, so they're my children, so they call me mother now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And so I have to say, like, get out of bed, get some fresh air, get some sunshine. You'll feel a lot better. My mom used to always say to me, brush your teeth. Like, if I was just feeling, like, and out of it, or, like, kind of sick or whatever, she'd say,
or
brush
your
teeth.
Bed.
Well, yeah, that too. And I'd be like, no, bitch, you make my bed. Just kidding. I don't think I swore in front of my mom until I was, like, probably 32. And now, I was just home, obviously. And now I, like, once every, like, once a day, I'll say, like, damn it, or, like, what an asshole, just to be able to, like, I did it. And my mom, you know, she doesn't care.
Oh, I say, like, everything. I'm literally texting and saying to her face, like, the worst things. And I find myself still catching myself and wondering if I should be doing
right.
it. But
what age did you start swearing in front of your mom?
I mean, in high school a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
One time I said the F word
in front
of my mom.
But never in front of my dad.
Oh, okay. My dad wouldn't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. See,
no pun intended.
Would.
Really?
Like, I actually,
oh, yeah, your dad's more of, like, a military dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get down and give me 20, asshole. Like, that's what you should
not
say to your dad.
Not quite like that, but digging ditches in the backyard.
That's insane. Yeah. Yeah, my dad is, like, literally the polar opposite. But anyway, so that's why I just said, it's your mother. But I just wanted to say before we start the show, thank you to my two new Patreon people, or my new children. I just had two babies.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Painful.
I just gave birth to Cheyenne A and Yo Kim. And I'm totally saying that wrong. It's J-O-A-C-H-I-M. Thanks for donating to the show. You guys now have a place in heaven. Because it's almost like, you know, you see ads on TV and it's like, for 60 cents a day, you could feed a starving child. It's like, well, for $10 a month, you can feed Kristen, which is more valuable.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an angel investor.
Mm-hmm.
It's
it really
like
is.
Personal angel.
I want to make a commercial where it's like me doing the thing with Sarah McLachlan, where it's just like me like eating at McDonald's. And it's like, feed her so she doesn't have to eat at McDonald's. Or join her Patreon page so she doesn't have to use shitty microphones.
And sad pictures of you.
Yeah,
crying.
Just like, yeah. And have
and
Sarah
skinny?
McLachlan singing like,
well,
in
basically
the arms
you in real life.
Of, yeah, me basically right now. We could film the commercial. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. And if anyone else wants to donate and reserve your place in heaven, go to patreon.com/mentallychill. And you can do $2 a month. You can do $100 a month. You should do $5,000 a month. But whatever you want to donate would be awesome. I already got Logic Pro. Thank you. Shout out to everyone helping with that. K.E., you know who you are. And so anyway, yeah, now we're moving on to possibly getting the show on the road and making merchandise.
Yes.
Yeah. So, any hoosers. So, Diana is my roommate.
Hi.
Hey. And she is on the show. And Diana is super cool, but also is on the show because she suffered with depression for a long time. And you're comfortable talking about it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll talk to strangers about it.
Me too.
I feel like the stigma needs to go away.
It's so
not
weird.
Something to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
The thing was is that I didn't realize I was depressed, I think, for a long time. I just thought that there was something wrong with me. Why can't I be, you know, happy?
Yeah.
Why does everyone else seem to be doing so great?
What age was this?
That was in my early 20s, and I actually wasn't diagnosed until I was in my 30s.
Why? Did you not go see anyone?
I didn't think that – I just didn't really know – that's what was wrong with me.
Yeah.
I just thought that I was – that was just me.
Right. That was just your personality type.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you do? Would you kind of isolate and – were you not having the same experiences that
I would
like, your peers were?
I would cry. I would sleep a lot, and I just felt generally lost and hopeless, and I didn't understand why. I thought it was, you know, coming from what I was doing in life, which at the time when I first developed
like modeling.
I was modeling and traveling Europe. And
yeah, it's like you shouldn't be depressed. You're modeling and traveling Europe.
But I was isolated because of that, because you're spending a lot of time alone. You're traveling. You're in foreign countries where they're speaking, you know, different languages.
All you have to do to snap out of your depression is look in the mirror. You're like, oh yeah, but I'm a model. I shouldn't be sad. I'm super gorgeous.
Well, it didn't actually go down like that.
Yeah. I would literally just carry with me like – what is 360 degrees? Is that what goes all the way around?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd carry around a 360 degree mirror. I'm like, I don't know, is it 490 degrees? No. 360, I knew that, yeah. I would carry around like a 360 degree mirror if I were you, and I would just constantly be like, oh, if I feel sad, I'd just look up and be like, oh, wow, I'm amazing. Oh,
yeah,
wow, I'm amazing.
Unfortunately, that didn't seem to work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They don't prescribe that at the
But
doctor.
I was told, like, by my agents, like, there is a sadness about you that you're bringing into every room.
Really?
And I was like, I know. I just,
isn't it beautiful, though? You know, like, there's got to be something
isn't
it about
it
that's
and
like,
deep?
Like, yeah. But I mean,
there's something there.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're trying to model for Macy's, you know what I mean?
Right. But it definitely affected everything in my life. And I didn't even know that's what the problem was.
Right.
I thought I was homesick and that was it.
Yeah.
But
that's actually kind of how it started for me.
More than that.
Yeah. That's kind of how it started for me, because when I was in college, I wasn't depressed as a teenager. Then when I got to college, I thought everything was going to start to come into place in my life. Like, this is when my time, you know, like, because I hated high school. So I was like, now's the time for life to get great. And it didn't get great.
Right. And you're kind of like, oh, is this what life is?
Yeah. And so I got super down. And it was at college, and I kind of did the same thing where I thought maybe I'm just homesick. Maybe this is like a normal adjustment period. But I never went out with friends. I developed a major eating issue. I don't know if you can technically call it like an eating disorder. But I think that was, one, because I was uncomfortable in my own skin. But two, I think I was just like didn't know where to put my energy or something.
Right.
So anyway, but we're going to talk about eating disorders in like a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, aside from that, once I think I got to my junior year, I was like, okay, it's not because I'm homesick.
Yeah.
That's kind of when I started realizing it. And then I talked to a therapist on campus like twice, and she sucked, and she seemed so uninterested. And I was like, I don't
that can
like,
affect a lot of about if you try to get help
and then it's
like
unsuccessful.
Scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just felt that's more kind of misunderstood or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize until years later that that's what was wrong with me. And I had quit modeling and gone back to school. And I actually had a period of feeling not depressed regularly. And so I thought it was gone. But then it came back.
Why do you think it went away? Were you doing something different?
I was doing something different. And I was like fully occupied at all times.
Yeah.
Going to school.
Yeah.
I was like super hardcore into snowboarding, and I would just go ride by myself all the time with a bunch of guys, or just ride alone. I just was occupied and active and out in the world and meeting people, which is the opposite of what I do when I'm actually depressed.
Right.
So I just sort of had set life up in a way that seemed to keep it at bay.
Right.
Which is why I think I didn't have it until I was in my 20s, because I was so active
busy,
in high school
right.
and busy with academics and sports and
right.
partying my ass off on the weekends.
Really? I see.
Yeah.
Because it's funny because you're so not like that now.
Yeah. But I was like, yeah. Like I was the high school valedictorian who like partied and got wasted, but still.
I would have hated you. I'm like, she's pretty and smart. Bitch.
But I was never.
I was like,
never about, yeah, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. I was like mediocrely look smart and mediocrely looking. Mediocre looking.
Shut up.
Well, that's, so I've always had this thing of like not wanting to be mediocre, but because I try so hard not to be mediocre, I end up just being mediocre because it's all you focus on. You don't actually focus on like becoming
just,
more. You
right,
know what I mean?
Which is where you are going to be unique.
Yeah, exactly.
Is by expanding.
Totally. So, okay. You're fine. She's like, I don't. She's like, Megan, I don't know. So, okay. So before we started the show, I was like, the thing with Stevie and I is like, we weren't really doing interviews. And that actually was more of Stevie's choice, because at first, because of my other podcast, we always have guests. And so I just assumed with this podcast we were going to have guests. And then Stevie didn't seem super thrilled or like super into it. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess we can do a podcast without having guests. So it wasn't like an interviewy thing. We only did like two or three guests. And then the rest of the time we would just chit chat and shit. We'd shoot the shit about shit and talk shit about the shit we were going through. So it's a lot of shit. A lot of shitting in the show.
Yeah, I'm into that, though.
Yeah. So what is, like, why? Okay, so here's my beef with you, is that you're super talented, super smart, and you're not out there doing what you should be doing.
This is the conversation I was having with a really great friend who is a therapist on the phone last night.
Is this because of your depression?
I think because I let my depression get the best of me and got so down on myself that I lost a lot of the confidence that I had built up when I wasn't.
Right.
And now I feel like if I jump back in, that it's just like, it's just, I don't know. I guess it's not going to work out, or I'm going to get rejected.
Why did you lose your confidence?
And I don't know if I can handle that rejection.
Yeah.
Like I used to.
Right.
I think I lost confidence because of a number of reasons, just like the way things go here in this town, like losing jobs, getting cut out of things, being told no over and over again. You know, a name, got it. We can't even get you in the room. I mean, it's the same story for every actor, actress.
Have you ever thought about leaving LA because of that? Like actually, like
I have actually, but then I realized it's me running away from my problems and they're just going to follow me wherever I go. And then on top of it, I will be unhappy because there's this dream that I came here for and I'm not following it currently like I used to be. And I think that that's sort of this, I'm perpetuating the problem. I'm keeping myself from succeeding. Because
right.
of the fear of failure and maybe even success.
Yeah. Well, I've said to you many times that if I were you and looked like you and all that, I would – no, I'm not even kidding. I would literally be out being like, hi, I should be cast in your crime drama as the lead woman detective, like now. I would have so much self-esteem and just be going – like I just – it's one of those things where you see – you or I'm sorry, where – the person on the inside doesn't see from the outside. And I think people will tell me that occasionally, like, you know, you're like the cute, funny chick that's going to waste. Like you're not, because I'm not really doing stand-up right now and stuff like that.
Right. But which I think you should be doing as well.
I should too. But it's like when you're on the inside, just like how you're inside your own head and I'm inside my own head, that's our reality. And to me, it's like I've built up this like heavy weight around doing stand-up.
And I have built up a huge heavy weight around it and like this sort of like overwhelming, almost paralyzing fear that it's like I don't even know how to describe it. It's like holding me back physically from just making a step forward in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it is, I don't know what, why.
I don't know if this is a thing that most depressed people do, but I turn things in that should be normal, like going to the store to get groceries, to me doesn't look like going to the store to get groceries. It looks like Mount Kilimanjaro and I have to go hike it right now. Like that's right. How much mental energy it takes me to do that kind of stuff. That's why here I like barely have, well, number one, I can't afford groceries, but number two, going to the store to get groceries to me feels like just another task that weighs me down in my brain that I don't have any motivation to do. And I'm right. like, what? I'm just going to eat some shitty food that I don't like anyway? Like, that's how it goes in my head. So when I put something like grocery shopping as Mount Kilimanjaro, it's like, holy shit. Now what's pursuing stand-up? That's like 10,000 times Mount Kilimanjaro. So yeah. I think I'm like maybe a
level up from you where the little day-to-day things –
you seem to like to do those things.
I sort of take solace out of them because they keep me busy and get me out of the house. It's the things that are more like, you know, goals and following dreams where it's like there's this this incredible paralyzing fear of rejection and failure. And the funny thing is that I've been rejected and quote-unquote failed – not really. I mean, so many times that it shouldn't –
Right, like you're still alive.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going to die, you know, if that happens. Yeah. But like for some reason, it's just like become this like issue for me. And I just wish I could, I have to get past it. And I think getting past it is just getting up and doing things.
Yeah. Like I want to bang down your door and be like, wake up, you're really good looking and have a lot of talent. Like that should be like your alarm
clock. I love
clock.
Your accent. Talent.
Talent. When I was home, wait, what word do I say weird that you point out?
Calendar.
Calendar. When I was home, I just spent the last 2 months home, listening to everyone talk, I'm like, oh my God, this is what I sound like.
Calendar.
And I say elementary and documentary.
Oh yeah, no one says that.
Yes, but where I'm from, and I've noticed like whoever was talking, they said like elementary school and documentary or documentary. And I'm like, that's how I say it. That we're all we're
I've never
all the
even
same.
Heard of that
oh my
pronunciation.
God. No. Because one time I said elementary and on my other podcast and someone was like, elementary? And I'd never in my brain heard it any other way. So every time I say elementary, I have to think like focus. Or when I say documentary, I have to say documentary, I have to focus. It's like laser focus.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah, but anyway, calendar.
Calendar.
How do you say it? Calendar?
Calendar.
Wait, say it again.
Calendar.
I'm like calendar, and you're like calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got to work on the A's because, as you know, I got a voiceover agent.
Yes, you do.
So I got to get rid of the Midwestern.
Congratulations, tang. Kristen, on that.
Spanks. I haven't booked any jobs, and I've been doing it now for like 3 months, so life's
yeah, but,
great.
You know.
Anyway.
Give it a chance. Give it a chance, Kristen.
Yeah. Well, because I know you have limited time, and so it's 10:16 just for you to know
okay.
your timing.
Gotcha.
I wanted to talk about eating disorders on the show because people have requested it. They've ordered it, unlike they've ordered food. it's really stupid.
And thrown away and not eaten.
Yeah.
Or
they've puked it back up.
Puked it back up.
Someone regurgitated this episode. And so I'm not saying like I'm talking about it because you have an eating disorder, but I've been meaning to get to it.
I'm kind of like, why am I on here?
Because right. Right. Have you ever had any eating issues?
The only eating issues I've had, if you want to call them issues, are just like dieting a lot. And especially in high school, I dieted a lot to where I got very thin at a certain point and people were like, you know,
well,
asking
you were
me
modeling.
Why I was so skinny. And at that point, I wasn't actually like really modeling. I just like somehow got into dieting and like doing workout videos, and it's like I was already skinny, but then I got skinnier,
right?
And I was like doing this whole like low fat like diet.
Yeah.
And then I actually at one point took a step and bought what are they called, the laxatives.
Oh no.
And I
okay.
put them in my drawer.
No.
In my room and
I put
never
them in my butt. And I pooped.
No, I put them in my drawer and never like actually even opened it or used it, and like my mom searched my room and found them and then left a note saying we need to have a discussion.
Oh wow.
And they thought that I was using them because I was so skinny, but that was just because I was eating dieting and right. and exercising, and I was on the basketball team and we would have like basketball practice 2 hours a day, and you're young, and
yeah.
I just that's why I so was so I never actually took the step and took them.
What are you, 5'9"?
Yeah.
So 5'9", how much do you weigh at that point?
Like when I was like dieting, like 115.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty skinny for 5'9".
But I mean, I wasn't like, you know,
but
out
it was
of
never
control.
Like yeah,
no.
It was never like out of control. Well, I have this, I'm thankful that I think I have a, like, almost like a, I don't even
I mean, with what you eat, which is horrifying.
I know.
I have witnessed this, people. Like, it's white
bad.
Bread, untoasted, like, Wonder Bread with, like, cold spaghetti. Is it cold?
It's a spaghetti sandwich.
Sandwich. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things I've seen her eat are shocking.
Yeah, it's not my proudest part of my adulthood, but the reason I eat like that is because number one, I hate cooking, and number two, it's comforting. So I'm just going for cheap, comforting, and fast. But anyway, yeah, here I have the worst eating habits, but I'll tell you a little bit about my past with eating. So when I was in college, I went to school. I weighed like, I think like 110 when I went away to college.
And you're what? What's your height?
5'4". Okay. I'm 5'4 and a half. And it's funny because last time I went to the doctor, they said I was 5'5". And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, 5'5". So I'm like, oh my God, I've been living a lie. I've always said 5'4".
Do you say 5'5 now?
I don't feel comfortable saying 5'5". I'm not a 5'5er.
You should say it. Take that extra half inch.
I almost feel like I sound masculine as a 5'5er.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Man. Huge man sitting next to me. Well, because like guys on Bumble will say like, how tall are you? And I'm like 5'4". They're like, ooh, perfect height. So I'm like afraid to lose my perfect height.
Well, that means they're short. So
that's true. That's true. That's a good point. I'll say 5'5 to scare them into like lying that they're taller than they are. But so... And currently, so that I weighed like 110 when I graduated from high school. Currently, I weigh 105. So I'm a little smaller than I was when I was in high school. But when I went to college, I gained like 20, 25 pounds. So I was at like 135.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. And I just, because I have a small frame.
Yeah. Well, and I've just never seen you, you know.
Right. And I, and that's not even big.
I mean,
at
you
all,
are
but
more thin than when you first moved in.
I am. Yeah. And that's because I developed major anxiety once I became like a single person dating and all that kind of stuff. But when I gained that weight, I didn't get like a specific eating disorder where it was like, and that's my problem in life. I've never been able to be categorized, and I always wish I could be just categorized because it's easier to deal with something or a problem or a person when you can put them in a category. And I, this is a weird example, but like Amy Schumer, she's, to me, she is successful because you see her on stage, you know exactly who she is. You can put her in a category. Right. She's like the girl at college who partied too hard, who's like the train
wreck. I actually feel like I have experienced the same thing with acting where
you couldn't be put into like a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, I can be, but then when people actually meet me and talk to me, they say like, visually you look like this, but then when I speak to you,
you're like this.
I'm like, totally different than what they imagined, so it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't help you.
Yeah, it works against me.
Yeah, because I feel like, in especially in acting, if you can be a certain type, you're going to get a lot more roles. And so it's like the same way with everything in my life. I've never been able to be categorized. I'm not the girl next door, but I'm also not super quirky, and I'm not.
Oh, yeah, I remember having this conversation with you once when you had an audition.
Yeah, and, like, politically, it's like I'm not, like, super conservative, or I'm not conservative, and I'm not liberal. I'm literally right in the middle. So I'm like, I can never be categorized, and it's really frustrating to me. And that's exactly what happened with my eating issues, was that I wasn't starving myself by any means, and I was not making myself throw up or anything. I never once did anything like that. But I was so...
Oh, my God. I tried that once. It's not worth
it. Oh, I tried. I couldn't do it. And I was like, this is not worth... I would much rather starve myself than have to, like, puke it back up.
It was too much work. It gave me, like...
So much work.
The worst, like, feeling in my throat. And I had, like a popped, like, blood vessel in my flipping eye.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. It's not worth it. It's definitely not worth it. But I actually, one of my roommates I used to live with in Chicago was severely bulimic. I've never told you about her.
Oh.
She would hide bags of vomit
in
the apartment.
It's like that daytime movie. Did you ever see that where the girl was hiding her vomit in Tupperware containers?
I think they were just
closet.
Filming my apartment because it's exactly what it was.
I mean, I'm not laughing.
Like, no, but
obviously it's not something to be laughed about, but
well, this whole show we try to make light of all this shit,
right?
But yeah, that's exactly what my apartment was, and I was like, it smells like vomit in here, and I didn't realize she was bulimic. And
oh my God,
and I was like, it smelled like vomit in here for like 2 months. I'm like, what is going on?
Well, at least it doesn't smell like dog pee.
That's a good point. That's a callback to a specific scenario we both dealt with for a while. And she's not talking about me, I promise.
Nope.
Anyway. So one day I was like, oh my God, it just smells like pure vomit. And then I noticed I had bought a trash bag thing. Like, it was 40 trash bags. And we went through it in like a week. And I'm like, where did all the garbage bags go? And so I went into her room and I like looked under her bed, and it was all trash bags full of vomit. And then it was also trash bags full of the,
the
food containers that she had gone through. So, like, I wouldn't know she'd buy all these groceries, and then all the garbage of those groceries would be under her bed in those bags. And it was almost like discovering a dead body. It was like, when I saw it. And I was like, oh, my God. And
so what did you do?
I ate them. I was hungry, and I'm like, this actually looks pretty good. I didn't say anything to her, but she also drank a lot. And so one night she came home, she put a pizza in the oven, fell asleep. She was drunk. And then I woke up to the fire alarm going off because the pizza was like burning.
Right.
And so that morning I said to her, I was like, listen, I know stuff, you've got stuff going on in terms of like an eating disorder, and I'm around to talk if you want to talk about it, because I've had issues with eating in the past. She got super defensive, and we never ended up talking about it. And then I didn't live there much longer. And then I basically moved out, because I'm like, I'm living with a
vomit.
I'm breathing in vomit. And one time she was sick, she had the flu, and then I got the flu, and I'm like, oh, it's because I was breathing in all the vomit.
Oh my gosh.
Like, rooms were like on opposite ends, probably because we were sharing this all the same shit. But to me, it was like because all the particles were floating in the air of vomit.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was her. It's a much longer story, too. But anyway.
So are we helping people?
We're talking shit about
shit.
We're
just talking shit about shit. All right.
But this time, talking shit about puke. But for me, my issues were like, I became so obsessed and like Nazi-like overeating that I was torturing myself.
Wait, why though?
I was trying to lose weight. All of a sudden I was 135 pounds.
This day, like, consider doing that.
What?
Like just being like a Nazi about what I...
Yeah, but this wasn't like posts on Instagram Nazi of like, hey, look at all like my good juicing and stuff. It was like, it had nothing to do with being healthier. It had everything to do with being skinnier. It wasn't like, I want to consume more minerals and protein, you know, and whatever.
No,
it was like...
I'm saying the same thing. Like, just don't eat a lot.
Yeah. So basically, what my problem was that I started binging because I was not allowing myself to eat anything that tasted good, basically 6 days a week. So I eliminated. I was only drinking water. I wasn't allowed in my brain. I was not allowed to drink any sort of juice, any sort of like milk, anything. I basically was like, you're drinking water. That's all you're allowed to have. It was almost like I was punishing myself right from the get-go, and I didn't understand how dieting worked. I'd never ever even looked at a calorie count before I got to college, so I had no idea. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my god, sweetened iced tea has like, you know, 300 calories for this whole bottle. And I would like have a meltdown, and all this reality started hitting me. And so what I was eating, like in the dining hall, I would get like lettuce and cottage cheese and then put some beans on it or something and then douse it in ketchup because
sounds horrifying. You know how much sugar's in ketchup?
And I didn't at the time, but I was just gonna say that now. Like, if I had known at the time that ketchup was all sugar, but I'm thinking tomatoes.
Because I
was so uneducated in it, and also it was not really, it was kind of pre-internet in a way.
I mean, you're still uneducated though.
I'm super uneducated. I have the reading level of a third grader. So basically then I was exercising 7 days a week on top of it because I was doing that as a punishment. But when I was exercising, I hated doing cardio and stuff. So I was like, well, I'll just do weights and stuff. So then I started getting bulky because I wasn't burning. I wasn't doing aerobic exercise for the most part. I was doing just like weights. So all of a sudden I was just like getting bulky on top of the fat. And I started to lose my mind. And it basically got to the point where I remember going out to eat with my family or my mom and dad, and I broke down just sobbing at the restaurant because I could not find anything that I was allowing myself to order. Because there'd be like cheese on a salad, you know, it's like, I can't eat cheese. And so everything was like eliminated. All I would be able to eat would be like, would basically like be stuff on a salad. But the reason I started binging, the way I started binging at first was that I would make, all I was allowing myself to eat were salads. So I thought,
salads
and Keelanders and Elementary. I was eating like I would make a massive bowl of salad, and I didn't understand that basically it was the same calorie count as like a full cheeseburger, because it was like I would put walnuts on. At the time, I at the time I could, I was like, I can put walnuts on it and cheese at the time, dressing, not like super fatty dressing.
Yeah, I do that. And I'm sometimes like still thinking like this salad is probably 1,000 calories.
Yeah, but it's also like good for your body, yeah. you know, and in your soul. And I wasn't taking into account any of those things. So I started binging on these huge salads, so I would feel so full after eating one, but also like not satisfied.
Yeah.
And so then I would basically set days aside where I'm like, okay, this isn't working just eating healthy. So every Sunday I can eat whatever I'd want.
Uh-oh.
So then I would go super overboard, like way overboard. Like
and
I wouldn't
know.
This
is when you were with your boyfriend?
No,
this was, this is when in school.
This was in college still.
Okay.
Gotcha. So,
so how would you get, do you just eat alone?
Yeah. Well, I would go to like, yeah, I would usually, if it was like a Sunday, I would go alone, and way overanalyze. So I'd get to the grocery store, and I think this is part of the reason why I hate going to the grocery store. I would get to the grocery store and overanalyze everything. So I'm like, this is the one moment you have to do it right. And so I would stare at everything and be like, no, because if I get this chocolate thing, then I'm going to be sad that I didn't have vanilla. And then I'd be like, well, then I also need some like, you know, something crunchy on it. So I should get more nuts to put on, you know, like I would yeah. just to make sure that I'd be satisfied with it. And then I would overdo it. I would start crying and lose it, essentially. Like I would have like a breakdown. And so the way I ended up getting over my eating issues was that I realized that if you just ate in moderation, it was like the most simple solution.
Yeah.
And it was like mind blowing.
Yeah.
I was like mind blown. And so it was my senior year. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God. Okay. So I can have like a cheeseburger, but it's half the cheeseburger and I'll order, I won't put mayo on it. I'll put mustard, but I can still have a burger. Like, and then I got to the point where I was like, counting too much. Like I'm like, okay, I can have potato chips, but I can only have 12 potato chips. But I was allowing to eat, but I just wasn't doing that, like making this massive salad
right.
and then never feeling satisfied and then sneaking food later or something. So so then I at the same time I was like, oh, also if I do cardio
yeah.
and eat in moderation, I'll lose weight. Like I'll lose all this like bulk that I have and
that's
the fat
the
will
secret.
Melt away. Yeah. And all of a sudden it was
for
like
for all of you who are wondering.
Well, it is. It's
cardio
like,
and eat in moderation.
Literally. It's such a simple solution. But I started running and losing the weight just started like falling off. And then I got like a high. I got
yeah,
that almost
I actually,
like
that's why I run is because I get runner's high.
Yeah. And I mean this high was like from seeing like, because I sometimes get runner's high, like a tiny bit. But this was like, seeing these results was like, I need to keep doing this.
Right.
I need to keep doing what I'm doing. And then eventually, once I moved to Chicago and I was working at a restaurant, the food, I just kind of let that go. And then I gained like a little bit of weight back, but then never had any sort of, I've never had any issue since basically moving to Chicago. I've had a very healthy relationship with food, except like eating shittily. Like now my appetite
yeah, my
isn't
problem
huge,
is candy
but, yeah.
and red wine
yeah.
and cheese.
Yeah.
And I am like, oh, if I just give those up, I mean, I think I would just like lose weight. Not that I'm saying that I'm like overweight, but like if I wanted to, but for some reason I can't seem to because it's like.
Well, you need pleasure in your life.
I know.
That's
they're
the thing.
Like my vices.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I see people like. On Instagram, just like posting pictures of their protein shakes and whatever, like goji berry. I don't even know what that is. Like, just put.
I actually have goji berries in there.
What is goji berry, by the way?
And I'm like trying to figure out what the heck to use them for. You can use them for, you know, a shake or whatever. They're just these little
berries,
and they're sort of dried, and you put them on stuff. But
yeah,
I bought a package, and then they've just been sitting there. And
right.
they're in like a jar in the kitchen. And I actually sit there going, what the hell am I going to use these
for? Are they dried? Like, how do they sit in a jar?
Yeah. Well, I poured them out of the bag and put them in a mason jar, like, just so they look nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then
it's
look at them and
yeah.
don't use them.
Right, right. Well, whenever I see people, like, living, though, like, just constantly doing the, like, not using goji berries as decoration, but actually, like, being like, ooh, look how healthy I am. I see behind that to, like, how messed up they might actually be in their brain, but they're presenting to the world. Like,
I mean, the amount of work it takes to do that
yeah.
and present it to the world as well. Like, take the
exactly.
time to do it and then also present it
yeah.
to the world
yeah.
through social media is like a full-time job.
Yeah. Like, I just wonder what the percentage is of people that like are super healthy and actually healthy and in like a good state of mind, and then people who present that they're healthy and are in a bad state of mind. Because I feel like it's a masking thing. Like, they're masking something by constantly posting like, look how great I eat, or like, look how healthy I am. Look at me doing headstands on the beach. To me, it just seems like underneath that, you have to be a little fucked up.
I mean, agreed. This is coming from a person who's really not active on social media.
I know. I'm so...
Which should be...
I'm so jealous of you for that, because it has driven me to madness. It drove Stevie to madness. And it is literally, I think, the past year of has actually ruined the past year of my life. Today, I was thinking...
I would agree.
Yeah, and you know what I've been doing.
Because I know what we're talking about.
And I've mentioned it a couple times on the show, but it's like the social...
You should talk about that on an episode.
Stevie did. We have two episodes that we talked about. Yeah, because she was like social media stalking the guy that she was like in love with and driving herself insane. And so she deleted the app for 3 days or something like that. I can't go back and listen to our old episodes. Like, I can't bring myself to do it. So I don't know. I'm like, did we
I'm scared to listen to them.
Yeah. And imagine it's like you're on the outside. Imagine me where I'm like,
yeah,
not knowing what's coming and having all these conversations. But she got rid of her phone her app for like 3 days. And then she said she was doing a lot, lot better. And then I think more toward the end, she was back kind of social media stalking again. But yeah, it's totally ruined my life. And
I mean, think about it. It gives you a window into someone's life that you normally wouldn't have access to. And all it does is breed second guessing, anxiety, unhappiness with your own situation, because you have these ideas about what is going on in their life, but it's probably not even that great or true.
Yeah. Well, I tweeted a quote from something that I saw on this Instagram, on the podcast, like Instagram and Twitter. But it was a quote. It said, "The presence of someone else's beauty doesn't mean the absence of your own," which I really liked, because when I would see other girls that the guy that I was into would be following or liking their pictures, I would see them as this goddess and myself as like a gremlin. And but I also was holding a mirror in front of my face. I'm like, I am actually a gremlin.
No.
But I would have this really skewed.
You're far from a gremlin.
I would have this super skewed view
Very
of myself.
Far.
And then I would feel like self-hate.
But I mean, I feel like a cross between freaking Chris Farley and the Crypt Keeper from...
That is...
You know, like...
That is the epitome
of
mental illness.
When I'm PMSing, I'm like, I just can't even describe what it is. I feel like a bridge troll crossed with...
Yeah.
You know?
With Chris Farley.
John Candy.
Yeah. these dudes are like rolling in their graves being like, I'm a period now? Like, that's what I am? That's
I know. Why am I referencing dead large men? That's
because
horrible.
They were large, and that's
well,
how you
it's
feel.
Because when I feel disgusting, it's usually I feel fat and decrepit and old. And, like, I'm like, the Crypt Keeper part comes from feeling, like, dehydrated and, like...
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Oh, you can see that?
Not,
thanks.
Not on you, but for me, it's, like, this almost creaky, like, your bones are kind of creaky in a way.
Your face
kind of
feels like parchment and white and, like, flaky. And, like, you look like the Crypt Keeper from
Tales from the Crypt, right. I just want to tell you this, and then I'm going to let you go because it's getting late.
Okay.
But... You said you had laxatives.
I never actually took them, but...
I took... Oh, my God. Because I would get so bloated, so I'd have this, like, massive salad, and then my stomach would never go down from the bloat, it felt like. Like, my stomach would be like, I just ate Thanksgiving dinner for the
I
next...
I feel like that for the last few months.
I've felt like that since I had a bowl of cereal in high school, basically. Like, my stomach has not stopped bloating, and so I was trying laxatives to try to get rid of the bloat.
Did it work? I'm all like about to go to the store.
No, it didn't. It didn't. I've not used laxatives since I was like 21 years old because I had the worst experience. I literally thought I was going to die. I fell down essentially in my bathroom and like passed out from the pain because
I was shitting?
Because the laxative I took didn't work, so I took another one the next night.
Oh, jeez.
And so it was like double, but then I still couldn't go. So it was the pressure of two laxatives, but not being able to let it out. It was literally like there was an alien
How
in
that?
My body.
You couldn't
and I
let
thought
it
I was
out.
Gonna die. I don't know, it was like so dry or something. Like it was
Oh my
for all the,
So you had a Crypt Keeper.
For all the
butt.
Dudes listening. It was so dry. that, yeah, it was horrifying. And then I literally passed out on my bathroom floor, and this was in college. And I was living with two girls at the time. It was over the summer.
Did they discover you?
No. So they lived on like one side. It was almost like this weird campus apartment. And they lived on one side, and I was on the other side. So they didn't come in my bathroom or anything.
Did they
would not even speak to me. The moment I moved in, they wouldn't speak to me. They were from the show Sorority Life on MTV.
Oh, well, there you go. There's your answer.
There you go. And I was like, on my bathroom floor when I woke up, like, literally these bitches could care less if I died. Yeah. Anyway, so I have not used a laxative since. And I think about them fondly. The girls, not the laxatives. Okay, so since you have to go, we do this segment called Who's Sadder? So we compare and contrast. So like an example is like we did like, I did one time like, who's sadder, Janice Dickinson or someone in a wheelchair? Just like who's sadder, like in their circumstances. Okay.
Okay.
So the answer to that, by the way, is Janice Dickinson.
I mean, clearly.
But Avi. So this one, I'm kind of, so I need people to start sending me ideas because I'm starting to run out of ideas. But who's sadder? Abercrombie and Fitch or American Eagle? Because now in the year,
that's a good one.
Yeah, because like now we're in this phase of like Forever 21, H&M, where the American Eagles, Abercrombie and Fitches have really gone to the side. And that's not really, because like when I was in college, like you had to wear Abercrombie. I worked at Abercrombie in college. That's where I lost my self-esteem and my virginity. Okay.
Oh wow.
I'm just kidding, that's a joke, but I did lose my self-esteem there. And so, yeah, which company's sadder?
I mean, if we're going to, I think Abercrombie.
Yeah.
They had more to lose. Easy.
They did have more to lose.
I mean, they were priced higher.
Yep.
I actually know this.
Yeah.
And then if that sort of dressing becomes obsolete, they have more to lose. And American Eagle is like, if somebody does want that, they're going to go there if it's not like the name sort of like
right
cachet thing that it's like the whole Abercrombie thing was the actual name in the store.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I feel like with American Eagle's like, hey, we didn't do anything wrong. It's Abercrombie. Abercrombie's the one that was like, you have to be certain size skinny to work here. And you have to, we're not going to sell size over whatever because everyone has to be super skinny. American Eagle's like, we're just, you know, like being regular. And then we also are getting shoved out at the same time. You know
what I
mean?
That's true.
But I agree with the more to lose. And I, because when I go shopping, I still see, it's weird.
I see Abercrombie. Do you?
There's an Abercrombie on the promenade.
I feel like there is.
But American Eagle left. American Eagle closed down on the Santa Monica Promenade.
I like specifically don't go down to that end of, what's it called? The
Promenade?
No.
Oh, Beverly Center?
There used to be one at the Grove.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's still there.
An Abercrombie.
And I would specifically,
all the way at the end.
I would specifically avoid that area just because there was this like radioactive feeling to me coming off of it.
Smell because it's disgusting. That actually comes out of it.
It's just the worst.
Cologne smell. Yeah. So it's weird because American Eagle, I feel like they lost more stores.
Yeah. But I'm not up on like the business aspect of it.
Yeah,
in terms of like who's like doing what at this point.
Right.
But
I do no research for this, so.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So I can't spew out facts.
Right.
But the fact that Abercrombie is still going is almost like they are zombies. Like they are unkillable because the style is totally obsolete.
It is.
And I don't know who's buying. I don't see anyone.
Well, those sorority bitches are.
Still? In 2017? They're not going like Forever 21 style?
I mean, they are, but also
mixing it in.
Do you see
the prep?
The outfits like of sorority and fraternity kids still to this day. It's still sort of like,
I
mean, sorry to say, when I'm not sorry, it's basic.
Yeah, super basic. Basic bitches. They should just sell pumpkin lattes in Abercrombie's. Just make it more convenient for everybody.
Yeah, and Plan B.
Totally. And roofies, so that the Plan B has...
That would make it complete.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we both agree officially, though, Abercrombie is sadder than American Eagle. Okay, congratulations, Abercrombie. You're sadder. Yay! Okay, so it's 10:44. You probably have to go.
I do.
Okay, so I'll finish the rest of the show by myself.
Okay.
So I got it.
Bye.
Well, thanks for doing the show. I'm going to pause it.
Oh, okay. I thought she was about to pause it.
I would say follow you on like social media, but obviously we declared that you don't really use social media.
I mean, I'm on Instagram. It's just that I don't think I've posted for 3 months, but...
What is it?
Di underscore Parks at Instagram.
It's not like Parks 44 or something like that. I thought there was a number.
Okay. Di underscore Parks.
Okay. So you can find it at Di underscore.
It's Di underscore Parks, Kristen.
Di underscore Parks. Di underscore Parks. Di underscore Parks. All right. I got it now. All right. Well, thanks for doing the show.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy the rest of your eve.
Turn that frown upside down.
Okay. That was my roommate. And I am back now on my own to finish the show. She had to go do some business. And so I just have an F dat shit left as well as a depression impression. And since we were just talking about the eating disorders, I'll do the depression impression. And I'm going to talk more about eating disorders because I didn't really have enough time to really kind of just like dig into more of the nitty gritty of it. Not of just mine, but just eating disorders in general. But for a depression impression, Candace Cameron from Full House came out, I think, in 2016 and talked about how she was bulimic. And she said that she wasn't motivated by being thin. She was motivated by looking for fulfillment and trying to fill a void. And it all started because her husband was traveling a lot and she felt like she was alone a lot of the time. And so was looking to food for comfort and for sex. As we know from the movie American Pie, that is possible. But she said that she didn't tell her husband for a long time and then finally told him. And he's an athlete of some sort. He might be like a big athlete. And I'm like, he's some athlete, but it's like Tom Brady. He's an athlete of some sort. And she was afraid to tell him because he's, you know, like the epitome of health and that kind of stuff. But she said once she did tell him, he was super supportive and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think she really had it until, because she's 37, so she was probably 36 or so when she talked about it. And I don't think it was much long after her going through it. So she wasn't young, so it happened a little bit later in life. And I hate to say 35 would be later in life, but it is, I guess, unfortunately. And then I wanted to mention Tracy Gold. If you don't know who she is, you guys are probably pretty young and like born in the 90s. But if you're born, when I was born in the 80s, which now is strangely dinosaur years, I'm going to hate myself when I'm 70 for saying that. It's not dinosaur years at all. But she played Carol Seaver on the super famous sitcom Growing Pains. And back in the day, everyone knew she was severely anorexic. It basically appeared in Growing Pains because she was so uncomfortably thin. And then she did a movie about a woman with anorexia, and it was called For the Love of Nancy. It basically explored this woman's battle with anorexia and effects on her family and stuff. But she basically was kind of playing herself, but she was so skinny. She was very scary skinny. She was in 1988, she was 133 pounds, and she dropped down to 110 pounds on a, I guess, medically supervised 500 calorie a day diet. And then she got addicted to it basically and dropped down to nearly 80 pounds. And so she was basically on her deathbed. But like, it's just insane what it can do to your body, anorexia and bulimia and all those things, you know, because the damage it does to your body, she probably wasn't going to be able to have children, but then she did. And she's, I guess, fine now. She was arrested for a DUI in 2004, but whatevs, she was super skinny, like scary skinny. And there's a famous image of her looking in the mirror at herself from the movie. That Lifetime movie, For the Love of Nancy, where that's when she was basically better and she was still incredibly skinny in that movie. So anyway, you guys should check that out if you've never seen it before, or at least like check out, you know, the images and stuff. It's very sad. But then I'm going to do a quick FDAT shit, which is just the like some stats on anorexia or not anorexia, on eating disorders in general. So there's an estimated 8 million Americans that have an eating disorder. 7 million are women and 1 million are men, which is insane. Obviously, makes sense. The pressure is on women, but that's such a big differential. It's estimated that about 10 to 15% of people with anorexia or bulimia are males. But clinicians believe that it's underreported because obviously many men are ashamed to admit that they've been suffering with an eating disorder. Newsweek magazine reported 40% of 131 Cornell University football players surveyed engaged in eating disordered behaviors, basically binging and purging, with 10% classified as having clinical eating disorders. Many men suffer from bulimia under the guise of, quote, staying in shape and use compulsive exercise as a form of purging. Which, honestly, compulsive exercise sounds easier than puking. Like Diana, my roommate, was just saying, because that is such a miserable experience that I would rather live in the gym for the rest of my life and watch douchebags lift weights than try to make myself puke. 77% of individuals with eating disorders report that the illness can last anywhere from 1 to 15 years or even longer in some cases, which is basically pure torture. You're just living pure torture. And I can talk from the like 3.5 years that I went through it. It was like I had said to my mom, I don't know how I'm going to live like this for the rest of my life. And because it was just unbearable, honestly, that's how bad it was. For many others, there are long-term irreversible consequences, which can affect one's physical and emotional health. Up to now, only 50% of all people with this disease report being cured. And like I mentioned, the lack of, you know, being able to have children and all that kind of stuff. 1 in 200 American women suffer from anorexia. 2 to 3 in 100 American women suffer from bulimia. 1.1% to 4.2% of females suffer from bulimia in their lifetime. As many as 10% of college women suffer from clinical or nearly clinical eating disorders. And oh, I did want to say that anorexia, bulimia, they're categorized as a mental illness, because I actually Googled that. I was like, I'm going to talk about eating disorders, but wait, is this technically a mental illness? And it is. And that, as I typed in, are eating disorders, it filled in the rest on Google, mental disorders. So many people have had that question, or mental illness, I mean. Studies indicate that by their first year of college, 4 to 18% of women have a history of bulimia. Some of these facts like aren't that interesting. How dangerous are eating disorders? They have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness, which is cray cray. 5 to 10% of anorexic die within 10 years after contracting the disease, and 18 to 20% of anorexics will be dead after 20 years. It's gonna be a miserable 20 years. You'd wish it would maybe kill you in a year. That's how bad it is. Anorexia has the highest rate of death of any psychiatric illness, including depression. Something's like repeats. Like, don't, you guys don't need to repeat. They all kind of say the same thing. The mortality rate associated with anorexia nervosa is 12 times higher than the death rate of all causes of death for females 15 to 24 years old. That's crazy. Without treatment, up to 20% of people with serious eating disorders die. With treatment, the mortality rate falls to 2 to 3%. So, I mean, that does show that there is help, and help does work. And I think I'll leave it at that right now, because I do want to talk about this more on another show. But thank you, of course, for listening and for supporting the show. You know mom's spiel. It's like, all right, mom, we've heard you say it 1,000 times. So as a mother, if you guys want me to stop saying it, then you have to go support the show on Patreon. If you get anything out of the show, please be so kind as to go to Patreon, become a member, and you guys do get cool perks and things like that. I upload these mini pods, which I get super personal on. Everyone has access to listen to the show. So I do sometimes keep it a little surface level, even though if you think I am revealing a lot, I'm not revealing everything. I pretty much reveal a lot more on my mini pods because I can kind of monitor who's listening to them. So I can say certain things that I don't, you know, that I'm not worried about. Like if I say something and I know that person doesn't listen to the Patreon or doesn't subscribe to Patreon, then I can say it on there, that kind of stuff. So if you want to hear me even more honest and blunt, please, please, please go check me out on Patreon. It's Mentally Chill. You can find it on there. So patreon.com/mentallychill. And also, I sent out pictures that are like autographed, which is, again, like super obnoxious, but you guys do get things and Skype calls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the highest donors, I like chill with on Instagram a lot, like a lot of back and forth messaging, that kind of stuff. So go do that. You guys deserve more of me in your life. Not that that's a good thing. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, and stay sad enough to listen, but not too sad.